Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue to talk today about some of the key themes that the writer of Hebrews gives us, particularly in chapter 12 that talks about the discipline of the Lord. It's a theme I've been talking about all week because there's an amazing amount of wisdom and light that we can gain from this teaching to help us understand the situation that we're living in today. So that the Lord comes to save us, right? The big picture is here we are, God's creatures, and we're fallen, and we live in a world that's fallen and broken and sinful. It's good. It's God's good creation, but it's also the place of spiritual combat. And we can never forget that. And to be a disciple of Jesus, to be baptized, is to be called to follow in his footsteps and live on alert. You know, the apostles actually use that language, you know, St. Peter to be alert, be sober, be awake. Don't fall asleep on the Lord and on his plan. Don't be deceived. Always remember that every day you're living in a spiritual battle. And in our day, you can see it. I mean, a blind man can basically see the battle that we're having today, and the church is living through a ferocious spiritual battle. And at the heart of it is both the work of the enemy seeking to enslave the church and dimensions of the church and lead the church in the wrong direction. And another dimension, the dimension that will lead to victory, is the Lord himself is coming to expose that dark work of the devil and give those who are trapped an opportunity to repent and to be freed and to bring light into the situation so the church can be healthy. The church can be radiant and living, as the writer of Hebrews says, sharing in the holiness of God, which we see in the heart of Jesus, so passionately obedient to the Father. Radically living in love with God our Father and knowing that love, knowing it deep within us, living in freedom. And so one of the things I talked about this week was how the devil leads us into enslavement, and in so doing can create strongholds, that is, like fortresses, where the habit patterns of sin get so deeply ingrained in us that he's able to build around that. He protects the enslavement that he builds into us. And it can happen in individuals, it can happen in whole societies. And it's happening in our society today. For example, what we're calling freedom, in some cases, is the redefinition of what it means to be human, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. So if you say today in our culture that God has made them male and female, that the human person is struggles, we're in a fallen world, we can have all kinds of drives and habits within us and feelings, deep feelings. But the church knows from God's revelation that any feelings that would ultimately say, I'm neither a man nor a woman, I'm something else, I'm one of 100 options, is inconsistent with God's plan and purpose. And that health means aligning ourselves with God's purpose and plan, and that our body is something God gave to us, and that our body speaks a language and helps us understand who we are and how God made us. Well, today, that sounds so radical now within our culture because our culture's changed so much. The church hasn't gone anywhere. The same thing Christians believed for 2,000 years and our societies in the Western world believed for centuries. And even beyond that, even in the Jewish world, 3,500 years, right? Our society has changed. And so now for a priest, for example, to just simply teach the meaning of marriage, that male and female, he created him, and that marriage is meant to be between a man and a woman in a lifelong covenant. Their bodies become one, to become one flesh and participate in God's creative plan, unity, a communion and love together, right? Which produces the fruit of which gets produced in children and families form, all of that. To say that today, there's even voices in the church, even priests. Some priests will say that to say that that's the only way God has set up for marriage is to be intolerant, is to be hateful, is to be homophobic. What we see when that happens is an attempt to silence God's revelation about reality. And when a whole society, in its public life now, in its laws, in its popular entertainment, around every corner, anytime someone stands up to articulate God's plan and purpose, that kind of attack comes. That's a sign you know that a stronghold has begun to be built. Because what it is it prevents you, it prevents a person who's just simply trying to talk about God's plan and purpose from getting at the core problem of the stronghold. That underneath what's being proposed, whether it's polyamory, whether it's homosexual marriage, whatever it is, homosexual sex, whatever kind of form of sex that people are promoting as being a morally good and healthy thing. And man, today, you just read on the news, I won't talk about it because it's early in the morning and maybe some children are listening too, but there's all kinds of people proposing extremely bizarre forms of sexual expression and calling it good because they've chosen it and they've created it and the rest of it. And they say, you have no right to tell me that this is not moral or good. It's your hate, it's your intolerance that's causing you to do it. And so what happens is, as soon as you begin to speak in the light, the darkness tries to go put out the light, to say, close your mouth, you can't say a thing. And if you say another word, you're going to be punished, you're going to be ostracized. Because why? Because the devil does not want to expose the light, the corruption, the lie that's at the root of it. That's how it works. That's how a stronghold works. And these can even be rooted in individuals, but also in the church itself in places. And that's what's being exposed today. That's the battle that we're facing. And it's God, the merciful God, I've been saying all week, who comes to expose the lie. And if the world's ever going to be able to again see that light, which is the way to freedom and love and life, the church has to be living it. And the church has to be living a life that's credible, so that what she preaches comes out of the life that she's living. The church will never live it perfectly. I don't live it perfectly. Nobody lives it perfectly. But what the Lord is after is not only repentance for all of us, but what he's after is that grouping of people that have believed a lie and are now trying to bring that lie into the church and to say, this is good. This is something we're learning from the world as a good, and that the church needs to say yes to this. So that even now, clergymen will stand up and say about other clergymen who are teaching the faith that we've received for 2,000 years, that to teach it is intolerance and a form of hatred. That's a spiritual battle within the church itself. And the Lord is coming to expose that lie and to reveal the deep roots of sin that are at the core of it. And he comes in love to save, to heal. And that's a great gift. And I just want to appeal, if there's any one of us who God is coming to right now, leaders of the church. I'm thinking of, you know, the people who are at the center of this, Cardinal McCarrick and maybe other cardinals or bishops who are somehow involved and trapped in this stuff. And I just want to make an appeal to you to lead by saying yes to God. You know, the passage from Hebrews says, you know, when God's discipline comes, he goes, do not refuse him who is now speaking to you. I mean, that happens just individually when he speaks to us about our sin. You know, God knows we fall. And 70 times, 7 times a day, we can repent and go to confession and say yes to him and come back to him. But if I say yes to sin in such a way that it begins to control me and I want to call it a good, I now set myself against the will of God in a deep way. And maybe those habit patterns, in the case of some of these guys, it led them to violate the law. Not only to violate their own vows, but to hurt people and to break the law. And we, in these situations, friends, we want to hold on to it to protect our identity and to protect the edifice that we built and our name and the rest of it. And you saw even, you know, certain characters over the last decade, famous people who committed serious, serious crimes, will stand and they'll just keep saying over and over again, I'm innocent, I'm innocent, I'm innocent, I'm innocent. No, I didn't. They'll come up with some big lie, an excuse to protect whatever image there is. Friends, don't relate to the world that way. This world is passing away. And guess what? This world is made up of sinners. Every single person is fallen and sinful and it stands in need of God's loving mercy. We're all in this together. Let's stop the charade. Who's fooling who? No one's perfect. And if we've said yes to sin at such a level that it's got us deep, deep into crime even, stand up and say, yes, it's true. It's true. And I'm so sorry. And whatever punishment comes my way, I'll take it. Because I know soon I will stand before the judgment seat of God. Friends, who cares about the opinion of the world? I mean, if we're trapped in worrying about our name and, you know, is it going to be remembered? Is I'm going to keep my name on a building? And, you know, am I going to be able to die with an image of myself that isn't exactly true? It's a worthless thing to pursue that. That in itself is a sign of our darkened bondage and our weakness and our slavery. Give it up. Let it go. Let it go. Because guess what? It's all going to, you're going to be dead soon. We're all going to be dead soon. This world's going to pass away. And everything that's not done in love is going to completely pass away. The final judgment's going to come when all our lives are going to be writ large and exposed and revealed. So there's no point. Let go of this world. Confess your sin. Don't be afraid. The devil wants to keep us afraid. You know, I was looking at chapter 13 of Hebrews. It talks about the sacrifices which please God. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do what love demands, right? At one point, he says, just a couple of verses in, he said, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the immoral and the adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, the idolatry of money, and be content with what you have. For he says, I will never fail you, and I will never forsake you. Hence, we can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Be free. Follow the Lord now. Do whatever. Just tell the truth. Live in the truth. Let's do it together. Let's none of us be afraid. Let's live in the will of God so the light of God's mercy and love can radiate through us and we can be healed and we can be an instrument of healing for the world. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.